Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm, getting ready to set this table on fire. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. Happy All-Star Weekend to the NBA fans around Sports City. Thank you to everybody that has been getting us to this number. Like I said, the download numbers and the listening numbers have been great. We are at, I'm going to share the number with you. We are at 996,000 listeners. Like, we are almost at our millionth listener. Like, I feel some type of way. I'm happy personally. I don't know if I can say that on, but I'm going to say behalf of the chefs. I'm happy myself personally. This is like a, I don't know, a personal achievement. But I wanted to go past a million, so on and so forth. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, Block, kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on the boat train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then, of course, authors. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch, Mama Lawton. Should have you believe Black invented crack when President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the double cross. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-arm pets. Nixon bombs, pure tech. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess. No dough, crack and veils much less. White, he can sell on the corners of Bushwick. White, he can sell on the corners of Flatbush. White, he can sell on the corners of Bed-Stuy. Pass the torch to that nigga guy. So just...
Okay. The call number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. I'm feeling some type of way. I am happy to see that these numbers have gotten to this point. Like I said, just personal stuff. Get to see us get this far, being close to the seventh year, too. This is great stuff. But, it's All-Star Weekend, NBA, of course, NFL season just ended, still some news there as well. Got a little college football also. I wanted to see how you guys felt about it, but before the kitchen starts to fill up, I do want to get MLB out there, see how some people feel about it, because we do got some people here that do follow baseball, so I'm going to get that topic out of the way before the kitchen starts to fill up. First and foremost, calling out of the Virginia region of the United States of America, we have Tommy Beard in the building. Tommy, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good.
Okay. Calling out of the Michigan region, the Brooklyn guy himself, Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning? I'm busy this morning. Okay, so got people called in queue. Y'all know what to do to get in here. First and foremost, before the kitchen fills up, topic I wanted to talk about. This is the first time that I can think of it right now, unless somebody can remind me. He spells it, you would see it, it looks like he spells it Jenry, but it's Henry Mejia. He's actually banned from baseball. He has tested positive for the third time in a calendar year. Now, this all started back in July when his first test. He gets back out there, a couple days later. He tests positive again within a month, and now he's actually had his third positive test, and he is banned. He is done from baseball. Now, it's different with Pete Rose being banned from baseball, and his was because of betting, and this was actually him in management. It wasn't while he was playing the game in the 70s and the 80s. While he was doing his thing. This is actually a ban in the sport while he was actually trying to get a performance edge three different times. And the crazy part is he's a pitcher. But I want to see how everybody in the kitchen feels about this situation, topic, or subject. Chandler, I'll let you set this one off first. And you being a New York guy, even though you aren't, and he played for the Mets. He played for the New York Mets. I didn't announce the team that he played for, but he was a pitcher for the Mets. But you being a New York guy, Chandler, your thoughts on the banning of Mejia from baseball?
It's Jenry Mejia, and he got caught again. He's banned. I mean, it's not really a whole lot to talk about. The guy's stupid. He kept getting caught. He got banned. You know, the Mets knew that this guy was doing this the whole time. So any of the hypocritical fake outrage, I'm not really not trying to hear. After the second time, the man shouldn't have been on the team, but they brought him back knowing what he was doing. So.
And there's no, like, I mean, you're not stunned at all, at least on the third. Like, so the second one, he was banned for, what, 100 games or whatever, 100-plus games. And the third time around, it's like no more that he could do. And it's not even like he had a significant career. But the reason why I brought this up, this is the first initial ban that I can think of outside of Pete Rose's situation, but it's different. I mean, even though Pete Rose was, you know, betting and it's not, you know, held to a standard that they want to accept it in baseball. Not to say that they want to. They're not allowing it at all. This is a guy that actually, in a, you know, one time around, you know, a one-time-a-day thing, you know, he's pitching every 4 days. It's not like he's trying to get an edge, like, well, he was trying to get an edge, but it's not like he's trying to be a Cy Young winner, so on and so forth. And for this to go down, I mean, this is an eyebrow raiser to me because I haven't seen anybody get banned in any sport other than the Pete Rose situation. That's the only guy I can think of being banned from a sport, especially in 1 year. This happened from the middle of 2015 till now. That's the reason why I brought this up. Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on this situation of a pitcher in your division, no less, because you are an NL East guy, may have been banned for a third positive test of a PED use.
A fan of baseball, I'm disgusted because, you, like Chandler says, it just shows you how stupid and arrogant this dumbass is. I mean, you get caught once, you would think, okay, maybe I should stop. You get caught twice, then you're like, oh, you're just like, fuck it, I don't care. I got these millions of dollars. I'm going to do it again. Ain't no way they can get me a third time. Well, guess what, dumbass? Thank you. Because now as a Nationals fan, I'm happy as hell now. Because he was one pitcher that actually, Bryson, that lineup, he had success with. I mean, Bryce got him a couple of times. That was because the guy got too arrogant, thought he could throw a fastball right down the middle past one of the greatest hitters of baseball now. I can't say of all time. In this generation. But it's ridiculous. And I'm happy the MLB is spending because now maybe these players, and it's a lot of the foreign players that are coming from these other countries, that are being busted. I mean, you've got some that are American, but most of them come from Puerto Rico, Cuba, Venezuela, and everything. So maybe that, I mean, I don't know what they have to do. Maybe test them and find out before we sign them and bring them over here or what. But most of them are from these Puerto Rico and all.
Okay, and, I don't know where I just wanted to see everybody's, you know, feedback or response to the situation just because of one and the first thing I want to do, I don't know whether I should say congratulate or give kudos to the MLB because they were the ones back in the early 2000s when they were being challenged by Capitol Hill on, you know, all of the different sport venues or where they wanted to go with like performance enhancing use. And you had Tagliabue at the time because Goodell wasn't running the show yet. It was Tagliabue. You had David Stern coming up with Stern perspective and how they wanted to address it. But you had Bud Selig who sat there like it was, you know, taking away from the sport of baseball, which everybody, I'm not even going to lie, I'm going to tell the truth. A lot of people come to baseball to either see a dominant pitcher or to see balls hit out of the park. People all want to catch a foul ball or a home run ball or see significant play be played out there. But still, trying to kind of address the situation like it's taken away from the sport, so on and so forth. And they didn't play any games with this guy. Every time that he got caught and they reinstated him to bring him back after he, you know, served his time, or I can't really say served time, but took his time out away from the sport due to the suspension, they were right on him to test him again to make sure that he was not doing anything dirty. They were actually covering their tracks. And I give basically MLB a ton of respect for being right on his heels as soon as he tried to enter the door, and he was getting caught. Now, in a situation just like Tommy addresses, like, wait, okay, so you just got caught. Why don't you wait till they try to test you again to try and do it again? It's not like, okay, they're holding me out. I'm going to use this all while I'm out and then come back and then still have this in my system. Or if they reinstate me, well, I'm passed now, so they already got me. Like, I don't know what his manner of thinking or judgment was in his perspective, but it's a tough role for him. Well, there's no role for him. He's done. He's going to have to go play probably back in his homeland or in another venue, but it won't happen in Major League Baseball, excuse me. Anything else to address before we get away from the Mayhem situation? Silence does help me. I don't know how much this holds to it, Chandler. I'm going to come to you on this one and see if you have anything to talk about with your boy, if you will, your boy Cashman inking Chapman for a one-year deal, being the closer from Cincinnati, bringing him to New York. A one-year deal, I'm thinking they should have probably got more out of this, but your thoughts on Chapman before I get away from baseball.
Well, he went to arbitration, so he was only going to get a one-year deal. And they're not going to keep him, so it's about what the going rate is for a closer. It's really, it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to give him this money. It was just an arbitration case.
Do you like the fact that Cashman went after him?
No, I don't. The guy's he's an abuser of women. No, I don't. I've stated that already. No, I don't. But they have him, so they had to sign him.
Okay. I'm getting away from baseball. I wanted to see if Chandler was happy about something coming to the Yanks, but, of course, you get the realest out of him. I'm not going to go to NFL just yet. I'm going to go college football. Now, his first year here, he has gotten success there from the Michigan Wolverines. You hear a lot about how Harbaugh changed the atmosphere, knowing that he's an alum and turning things around. In this year, this calendar year, 2015 alone, he spent over $120,000 on recruiting to bring potential to this college. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to see a lot of people start to turn over to get to Michigan. Will this actually, one, help these guys get to a national championship in the 2016-2017 season? Or do you still think this is a work in progress? I want to say at least a two-year window. Or do you think this happens now? Will this actually, play into the landscape of things this season? Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Harbaugh and the efforts he's making to turn things around in the Big Ten and for the University of Michigan?
I like what he's doing, but I look for in the next couple of years the NCAA be looking at them and put them on probation. He's really, if you go by the bylaws, he's really pushing it. I mean, he's got Ric Flair coming in for a party. He's got all these famous people coming and this and that. You remember when USC got all that trouble and it with Bush and everything? And a lot, and the one thing was that was in there that they got caught for, but the NCAA put them on there for, was they had all these famous people hanging around the university. Same way with Miami in the 80s and 90s. They had all these people on sidelines, Uncle Luke and everything. Tony Harbaugh, he's doing a good job. He can get these top recruits to come in there and everything. That's fine. But I'm just saying, he's pushing it to where the NCAA may be looking.
Okay. Now, this is one thing that I'm looking at from what you said. I don't know if this is a situation where it's trouble because, one, some are alums with Tom Brady actually went to school there. Two, Harbaugh has NFL money in his pocket. And three, I don't know if he actually paid these guys. Like I think these guys willingly came there. I don't know if he paid Derek Jeter, even though Jeter's a Michigan guy. You got Ric Flair, who actually is a fan of Michigan, and him coming out saying that he doesn't like Ohio State. So I don't know if they willingly, came there or he sent a letter to get these guys there or met with their agents, whatever it took for them to get there. I don't know if that's something that'll look at them for, whether they get, face a suspension or be held into a different manner, like, you know, Miami may have been held, or SMU with the death penalty situation, or just looking at, like you said, with USC with their situation. Other than Snoop being out there in USC, I can't really think of too many celebrities that were actually, you know, in the locker room with the USC guys. But there's also been a lot of NFL players that went to USC as well. So I don't know if this is a situation where the NCAA starts to investigate and seeing what he's doing questionably, to say. Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the Harbaugh situation? And you are in Michigan, too, so this is actually a situation where it's in your backyard. Your thoughts on him actually doing as much as he can to turn this thing around in Michigan? Do you think this could actually push them to a national championship contender this season, or do you think this is a two-year window operation?
He spent $136,000 in 2 days, is what he did. In 12 days, I'm sorry. He spent $136,000 in 12 days. I got a problem with that. You have the governor of the state of Louisiana talking about they might not be able to afford football at LSU. You have places like Alabama, Birmingham, shutting down athletics because they can't say they can't afford it. But somehow he came with $136,000 to spend in 12 days. I don't care what Michigan looks like on the field. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Where's that money coming from? You said it's coming from boosters. Why aren't they taking that money and putting that money into other programs scholastically? $136,000 in 12 days. $136,000 in 12 days. Ridiculous.
And the difference in the LSU situation, that's a statewide deficit that the governor is talking about. They're facing a $900 million deficit in the state of Louisiana. And he's saying that if they can't act on that, he wants to take it out on the LSU football team, which they're actually talking about people that in the state of Louisiana probably won't vote for him again. So that's a whole different aspect. It's not even about them affording the football down at LSU. That's a different aspect of the deficit that they're facing down there at LSU, which I do understand where you're coming from, Chandler. Other sports within the University of Michigan could probably use that money and, you know, have better equipment or better travel or whatever they need to get things done within a two-week span. I was actually thinking this was more of a calendar year effect. He actually did this within a two-week span, less than a month, of spending toward this to turn things around, which I don't know if this is an overhaul that he would actually like to see, which I think so. I think so, because they've been dominated by Ohio State since the 90s. Let's be honest, they have not been Ohio State since. I think he's going to do all he can to get that relevancy back to the university. So, I mean, I just want to throw this one out there, see how you guys talk about it. Everybody's feeling the same in the order that Harbaugh is doing things. Anything else before we get away from it? We do have a caller in queue, though. Okay, the silence does help me. We have Nacho in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling real good, Ty. Feeling real good, man. Real quick about the whole Michigan thing, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's his money. He can do what he want with it. And apparently, if other schools have problem managing their money or you know, maybe they need to look inwards at who's taking what from where as it pertains to other schools and where money goes. So I'm not too mad at Harbaugh and Michigan for doing what they want to do with their money. Other schools, if they want to spend it wisely or spend it ill-willed or you know, internally maybe people are doing bad things and taking money from these kids, which would be, you know, taking money from the school. So I don't know necessarily the inner workings of the LSU situation, the Brigham Young situation, but the Michigan situation to me just seems a college coach who knows the deal, who knows that the reach that you could have, the bigger reach you have in college, the better chances you are of landing a top-notch talent, or the better probability you have of maybe finding a diamond in the rough and things of that nature. So I'm not too upset with. Obviously, I would have. I'm in Naja's boat as his kids should be paid. So I'd rather have seen him spend that 136 on the children which would be the kids. You know, even though they're probably not kids, they're over 18, but in my eyes, they're still kids. So, spending on them and whatever. But if he wants to spend it on getting recruits or looking flashy, and I got to give you time, mostly celebrities, their Twitter accounts, you know, 2 to 8 million, and they want to, they know which schools their followings, like. So that's why you see the Drakes at different venues throughout the year and different basketball events and football events, along with other big names. I mean, we can sit here and rattle off celebrities. So I'm not a big proponent against celebrities being at the facilities or against the ex the alum that are now in the NFL or maybe in analysts or whatever. I have no problem with that. And I, like you said, I don't think they paid them to be there. It's more or less a publicity type of thing. You know, when you've got, 2 to 3 million followers and you're big in California, you're probably going to Warriors games. You're probably going to SC games. You're probably going to, multiple things on the West Coast, vice versa, conversely on the East Coast. You know, you're probably going to Heat games. You're probably going to Madison Square Garden to be team courtside. So, conversely, if you want to talk about college, they're going to the big names. Just to be seen, at the big house, things of that nature, in Miami, where things. So the celebrities, they're always going to be there, and in the eyes of a lot of people, they're always going to bring up a lot, raise a lot of eyebrows and have people questioning why those guys are there. But to me, celebrities being there, it doesn't really bother me. It's more or less the celebrities trying to. Get more publicity, get more stuff. So I'm not really against, what Michigan is doing. And, again, we can astronomical amount of number he's spent in less than 2 weeks. I wish I could do that. But, I'm not mad at him for trying to get his name out there and get his school, in farther reach because he knows to deal with those SECs, to deal with the Ohio State, things of that nature. You're going to have to dip into their pool. You're going to have to, get some of that talent. So. I'm not too mad at Michigan and Jim Harbaugh for trying to, expand their reach, so to speak.
Okay. Now, I got a little football before I get into the NBA. Both of which are running backs. First and foremost, LeSean McCoy. If you have not heard about the situation, I don't know where you've been, but I might as well just address it. I wanted to just say LeSean McCoy and just back away from the table. But LeSean McCoy and a few people, some names that I don't have right now, they're saying that they got into an altercation with undercover cops and they actually took care of the battle. I don't want to say won the battle, but they ended up hurting these cops to a manner that sent these cops to the hospital. They are potentially going to look to issue a warrant for his arrest. But how big of a situation is this around, one, LeSean McCoy in a city that he used to play football in Philadelphia? This happened in Philly. And two, moving forward, that this guy has issues right now. I mean, there was a game when they played Philadelphia, he's throwing his helmet all around because they lost that game in Philadelphia, and he's pissed off because he wanted to, get back at Chip Kelly and the organization to try and win. But is this an anger management problem? Does he have a mental issue? They also try to bring up when he got drafted, because he's from Pennsylvania, he got drafted, he got into an altercation out in Pittsburgh that also ended up sending people to the hospital. So, I mean, is this something that they need to look further into, a guy like LeSean Shady McCoy, or is this something that, that'll actually end up shaking itself out? Chandler, I'll let you set this one off first.
Well, I mean, he got into a fight in the bar. What he's been doing for a while, I'm not surprised it happened. The only thing I'm going to be surprised about is if they actually charge him this time. It was stupid, but the fact that they're cops, people are trying to make that a big deal. But if he didn't know they were cops, then it really doesn't matter what their job is. Fact of the matter is, he was out at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he got no bar fight. This is what LeSean McCoy's been making bad decisions for a while, so... This isn't surprising to me at all. The only thing I guess is going to be surprising is if he doesn't get charged.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the Shady McCoy situation? You think it's an anger management situation? Do you think that they need somebody to come and mentor this guy, knowing that a lot of, you know, kids and fans in Buffalo, or probably in Philadelphia too, still follow him and look up to his efforts on the football field? Or do you think this is something that will just end up shaking out?
One, I thought they were off duty cops is what I've heard. They weren't undercover. They were off duty. I'm pretty much with what Chandler says. Nobody knows exactly what happened. Nobody knows what's really, because nothing's really being said. I mean, I know the one name that the department's looking for is the rapper Meek Mills, because supposedly he was there too. So until everything gets shaked out, I mean, there's not really a whole lot we can really say. I mean, the guy, maybe he does need therapy or management or something. I mean, he's had problems. I mean, he had problems in Pittsburgh when he played up there at the University of Pittsburgh. There were reports of him getting into it. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and let everything play out.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on this one, and then I'm going to get to another running back.
Oh, wait. Okay, so the research that I've done on this, and again, this is something that I honestly first read it as a across the screen of my phone and just read it, another altercation, yada, yada, yada. I heard the word police officer, or read the word police officer, didn't know what was going on, further investigated. Tommy seems to be correct in the assumption, from what I keep reading, is that they were not undercover. They were off-duty officers at doing, you know, whatever they were doing. Got real late. Words were said. You know, who knows what could have been said. I mean, you're in a town where you left and you had nothing nice to say about it. You know, and it you know, who knows the emotions that are flowing in a city like that, especially at 3 a.m. With, you know, with the fans or whatever. So, to me, the whole situation, again, it comes to the release of information with me, because it goes from chain of events that I could have from my phone, from watching TV, was LeSean McCoy was in a fight. LeSean McCoy not arrested. There's no video. That's all you kind of heard when it first came out. Obviously, there's not too much information. People don't want to throw, you know, no pun intended, throw shade on a situation and have, you know, implications of other people that may or may not have been involved. But then we get, there is a video. There isn't a video. This whole video again. Then all of a sudden the video surfaces. Then you know, if Meek Mill was there, is he not there? It's silly, you know, Freeway there, with Kathy there, was, you know, any, you know, it really, you keep naming off rappers and celebrities. It's 3 o'clock in the morning in Philly, in the middle of, you know, I think it was a Saturday night or something. So, you know, it could have been any number of celebrities with him. He is a big time celebrity. So, this whole situation needs to be settled in the court of law, settled in, you know, the police justice system, watching the altercation on the video, getting all the statements, and then seeing what happened. Again, LeSean McCoy has been in situation before, you know, with altercations and yada yada. Is this a problem he has? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here because some guy in the limelight who has to deal with a bunch of, you know, SHIT on almost daily basis. I don't know his views. I don't know him personally. He may have a short fuse in general. He may have just his demeanor, just the way he acts. He may come off rude. I don't know him. So it could have been any number of things that set up the situation. And then, of course, when you get into a setting like that, and alcohol is involved, early mornings involved, I'm sure there's pretty women around you. The male chauvinist, I won't back down, that always kicks in. So you never want – I never want to place someone as, you know, having – I don't want to say mental issues or problems mentally, that they can't control their anger, especially since I don't know them very well, and especially since, you know, there's not too much out there. So with the whole LeSean McCoy situation, I feel A lot of it was jumped to. Again, the fact that these guys are police officers, the fact that they did not let that be known from the get-go. You're an officer of the law. Whether or not you're in a uniform or not, and you see something like that, you're getting involved in something like that, you need to stop. You need to let everyone know who you are. You need to calm it down if you can. Have the bar call the police that are on duty and send the situation down. But in that situation, my blame totally goes on the officers. There's multiple of you that are supposed to be, you've taken an oath and things of that nature to uphold the justice system. And right now, you're really not doing that with your actions. So to me, it's more on the officers. LaShawn needs to be investigated. This whole thing needs to be investigated to see exactly what happened, and then we'll move on from there. But, again, the whole sequence of events, LaShawn McCoy was involved, who actually he was involved with, you know, was there a video, was there not a video, and, you know, again, it's the runaround that we see with the NFL. And, again, we may not even know anything, even when the case is settled.
Okay, Now, this topic that I'm going to jump into before I start to get into the All-Star Weekend and stuff that's surrounding these NBA players as well. Personally, I'm kind of happy that this is going down, but analytically, like looking at this as a football fan and a guy that loves the sport, I am totally stunned and I don't know where the line gets drawn here in this situation. I want to say for like the past four seasons, the Chicago Bears have been playing hardball with Matt Forte. Are they going to bring him back or are they not? Trade a situation in front of them, they want to get rid of him, so on and so forth. They have so much value into this guy, it's not funny that he at certain times he led the team in receiving and rushing. I mean, how much did you want this guy to do? And now they are stating that they will not bring him back as soon as he hits the market. Now, I don't know how much, you know, they want to put in front of Langford and also in front of Carey as well. And I'm not saying that these guys don't have a high ceiling. They're not saying that they don't have the capability of being, you know, go-to running backs at the end of the day. But I think that they're more or less ready to have a running back by committee instead of having Forte going out, being the guy, ending up getting injured, you know, in a 5-6 week span, coming back and, you know, getting his duties and roles back and still not panning out to get into postseason relevance, if you will. Now, I don't know how much they put on Forte. Like, how much of the responsibility of this team not getting over the hump is Matt Forte's fault? Like, I feel a certain way about this. Like, and you guys all know I follow and love the Detroit Lions, but it's like, Forte did all that he could, especially while you guys were moving receivers in and out, while these receivers were going down, while Alshon Jeffrey had not been the healthiest of receivers, while you had Brandon Marshall there last season and not been the healthiest of receivers, or 2 years ago, excuse me. And you also got Kevin White, who's coming into the door, hasn't even played a down with this guy, and he started his career injured. I mean, the notable guy that has been productive for that offense is not Jay Cutler. And you're sticking with Jay Cutler. Oh, let me add, is not the healthiest of quarterbacks. So I don't know how much the Bears want out of the new guys that are behind them. I mean, there has been games that Langford has showed up. There has been games that Carey has put some stats up. These guys are not comparison to Forte. But I don't know. People may feel different in the kitchen. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Throw this one around the kitchen. Nacho, I'll let you set this one off first. Matt Forte, not going to be a Chicago Bear.
Glad, happy, and excited. Those are three words that I could say my team won't have to figure out how to stop him when he's thrown the ball, when he's handed off the ball, when he somehow gets the ball on 95% of the plays that the Chicago Bears run. It's an over-exaggeration, but if you watch the Chicago Bears for the past two, like you said, 3 or 4 years, you will know the cog of that offense, the key, the thing that keeps it moving is Matt Forte. A couple of years ago, running back who leads his team in receptions and third in the league in receptions as a running back, you know how important he is to that team. So to me, the whole idea of Matt Forte not playing in Chicago, you know, brings a smile to my face. I don't have to worry about him. And now the interceptions and the turnovers can keep coming our way from Chicago. So that I'm not too concerned about. The thing that really does interest me, like you said, analytical football part, where does he go? Because right now he can go on any 32 teams, well, 31, he's not playing Chicago, but 31 of the teams, and I think he'll make an instant impact. I think he'll make a very, very, you know, big impact for almost any team he comes in on. He's really not going to be a liability. Whatever you pay, I'm sure he'll gladly take. It's right now, Matt Forte will be a hot commodity. I know he's on the other side of 34 running back. What he's able to do in Chicago four or five last years in that offense, you get him into an offense where he's not the focal point. You get him into an offense where you run the ball and you pass the ball and you have other weapons. No one's, you know, it's going to be hard to stop a team that can get him that is a running back away, that is one skill position away from making a run. So, to me, not playing for the Bears, not having to see him anymore, obviously that's something that I enjoy. But as a fan of the game, it is going to be interesting to see where he goes, where he ends up, because right now there's a plethora of teams that he goes to that make them playoff contenders. And it's one of those things that it's really going to be, you know, pretty intense to see where he goes and see who wants to pay him. I think that's what it'll come down to, because I think people will end up bidding themselves out of Matt Forte, and he'll get some money, because I really do think.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the Forte situation? I mean, we could go anywhere with this Forte deal. I'm not going to lie. You can send him to Detroit right now. I would love to have a running back that you know can receive the ball out of the backfield, has breakaway speed, and all of the youth that Chicago has put on him. I mean, what did you want him to do? You think he wasn't going to get injured if you had him seeing the ball more than 30 times a game? I mean, he's receiving the ball and running the ball for you at least 18 or 20 times rushing and at least touching the ball 7 to 10 times out of the backfield. I mean, what did you expect for him at the end of the day?
I think it's funny, and it shows why the Bears suck. You go keep facing Jay Cutler that keeps losing ball games for you. But Forte goes out, you just throw him to the side. And he should be your focal point on the offense. There are reports that I've seen coming out of the D.C. area that Washington is interested in him, wants to bring him in, see what happens. I don't like that fit for him. I'd rather see him in Baltimore, personally. We need a running back. We can get Flacco if he comes back healthy with that MCL, and Steve Smith comes back. I mean, receiver wise, we're bad, but we're not that bad. With Smith coming out, I mean, hey, that'd be a nice fit. And we can get that defense fixed. Hey, I'll take him in Baltimore.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the Forte situation? I know that this is something that we talked about for a while, at least for a couple of years, on how Chicago has gone back and forth with Forte. Do you think this is the end of the situation for Chicago at the running back situation, or do you think with Forte leaving, you know, that these problems will still exist with Langford and Carey, the way that they kind of ran him into the ground in his NFL career? Do you think that this will persist?
I told you when they hired John Fox that he was going to get rid of Matt Forte, and you didn't believe me. Matt Forte is not a John Fox player. John Fox is remaking this team in his image. So everything everybody said might well be true. It doesn't matter. He doesn't fit what John Fox wants to do. He doesn't stay healthy. He's not on the field enough. Matt Forte misses 3 to 4 games every season, sometimes more, every season. So why anybody shocked that they got rid of him? Why would you pay this guy all this money who can't stay on the field? And last I checked, they aren't winning with him, so how important could he be? I get it's a name, and I get he puts up stats, but those stats aren't important because they don't help the team win. So the fact that they're not going to re-sign him is a good move. Why would you re-sign a guy and have to pay him big money? You know he's going to miss games, and guess what? He doesn't make your team any better. Those are facts. Matt Forte doesn't make the Bears a playoff team. He doesn't.
Is that his fault?
The fact that he can't stay on the field? No. Is it some of it? No.
Well, Chandler, I agree with you on that part, but like you said, is that his fault that that one player can't turn the Bears into a playoff team? Because there are times that I've seen this Bears team, playing the Packers or not, that they feed Matt Forte and they're on the road to a victory, and for some cockamamie reason they put the ball in Jay Cutler's hand. And then it's over. So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you because he can't stay healthy. You're right. I've seen him miss 4, 5, 6 games a year, but he's still consistently helping that team put up numbers. And then again, well, you can't ignore the fact that his quarterback's Jay Cutler, though. I mean, you can only do so much.
Right, but if you have to pay the mediocre quarterback, why would you pay the mediocre running back? And in the grand scheme of things, they're a mediocre team with mediocre players who are not winning players. They're not winning players. They don't have a lot of winning.
Then why not get rid of Cutler and keep Forte and find a quarterback that's actually decent?
Not even that. Chandler, they paid Cutler $100 million plus. They paid
yes,
that mediocre quarterback.
Yes. Yes, and they have to keep paying him because there's too big of a cap hit. So if I have a mediocre team and some contracts I'm stuck with, I can't get rid of them because that money is going to be dead money against my cap. Why would I bring back another guy who contributed to my being mediocre? Is he the only reason? No. There's multiple reasons. But he's one of them. I brought in a coach to turn this team around. And he said when he had his press conference, if you are not a guy that I think can help this team win, you will not be here. Right? First thing he did, he got rid of Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall had a great season. Did the Jets make the playoffs?
Wait.
I didn't interrupt. Has Brandon Marshall ever been in the playoffs in his entire career?
No, he has not.
So he's not a difference maker. He's not a guy that's going to put you over the hump. Matt Forte is not a guy that's going to put you over the hump because he can't stay healthy. Those 4 to 5 to 6 games he misses every season, those are games that you probably don't win because he's not available.
So Brandon Marshall going
– sorry, go ahead, son.
No, Brandon Marshall going to the Jets, he played this season.
Yeah, they missed the playoffs.
That came down to the wire. You guys lost against Buffalo.
Did they make the playoffs?
Is that on Brandon Marshall?
In the games where he dropped big passes, yes, it is. They lost the game because he dropped the pass in a big moment. This is not to denigrate guys. It's just to say who they are as players. Matt Forte is not a difference maker. He's not a guy that's going to put you over the hump and put you in an AFC or NFC championship game. He's just not. So I get that people like him as a running back. I get all of that. But if you look at it and take the emotion out of it and take the name out of it and say, I got a running back that I'm going to have to pay upwards of $10 million a year who's not available almost a quarter of the season because he's injured. And when he is there, yeah, we're good, but we ain't going too far with him. And you take that name off and I say, do we re-sign him? All of you say no. All of you would say no.
I know Detroit could use him, and the way that they've been hurting at the running back position.
How could they use him if he's not available, Ty? How could they use him if he's not available?
Listen, Detroit is a more pass or run team.
It doesn't matter. He can't stay healthy.
They
can't throw the ball out of the backfield, and he's hurt on swing routes.
They run him in the ground.
They throw him the ball more than they run him the ball, Ty. They use him out of the backfield more than they get to pound him between the tackles because he's not built to run between the tackles.
He's
running back to receptions damn near every season when he's
right.
He's one of the top. Okay, so he's
right.
not. Oh, he's not.
No, finish,
you know what?
Finish,
if you want him on your team, if you want him on your team, that's great. I don't want him on mine because he ain't gonna put my team over the hump.
Okay, and the Jets are filled at running back too. You're good at the running back position. So, I mean, I
actually no, they're not because Chris Ivory's a free agent. Chris Ivory's not coming back. Chris Ivory's not coming back to the Jets.
And Chandler, I'm not saying that you go get this guy a big contract and you bring him in to be your running back. I'm saying that all 31 teams could utilize him, but realistically, there's got to be a team that has a running back that won't run him into the ground. Because watching him again, like I said, watching being a Packers fan and watching him play with the Bears, it happens every year. It's you know, you look at some games from the Bears and you go through the first three or four series, then maybe they've gone three and out all three times, and Matt Forte touched the ball eight. It's that's how that team goes. You know, they've run 10 plays. Matt Forte's got it 10 times. That's some of the stats that happen when you're in Chicago for Matt Forte. So I understand the argument about the injuries and he's probably going to miss four or five games. But if you've got him on a team that use him right, that don't throw it to him 150, 160 times a year, you know, throw it to him, you know, as many times as Chicago does, and they don't run them as much as Chicago does, then, you know, you hope to God that, you know, you don't have him injured for more than what he's used, you know, the usual at that point. But you don't pay him so much as if you're going to lose that money, too. So I think, to me, is he that guy that's going to, you know, win you the Super Bowl? No, he's not. But he will be that guy at the veteran minimum to help a team make a Super Bowl with being a cog in an offense in one of these offenses that I know he could help. So that's what I mean by he can make a difference. No, he's not going to be that guy that you give the ball 30 times to, 16 games a year. He gets you, you know, 1,500 yards on the ground. He gets you another, you know, 400 in the air. He's not going to do that for you. He's going to be, you know, you're going to pay too much for that, and he's not going to provide it for all those games. I think he
but
could be
a
help.
But that's my point, though, Nacho. That's my point.
That's
everybody's killing Chicago for letting him go. And the thing is, in order for Chicago to keep him, they would have to pay him like a premier running back. He wasn't going to accept the veterans minimum from Chicago. He wasn't going to accept it. He wasn't going to accept the reduced role.
He's still a productive running back. In productivity in the NFL, he's a top five, top ten running back in the league. In productivity,
he's still
held
numbers.
In that net. It's not like his numbers were this season they have. But it's not like his numbers are severely plummeted. They still look at him as the guy. When you look at Chicago offense, do you look at him more as a threat or Alshon Jeffrey?
I look at Alshon Jeffrey more. Personally, because I know that I can't count on him for a full season. Again, I keep saying this.
Neither.
I keep saying it.
Alshon Jeffrey neither. When has Alshon Jeffrey been healthy? When has Alshon Jeffrey been healthy for a full season? I wait.
So then why would I pay the old running back who can't stay healthy when I have a young wide receiver who might stay healthy? Which one am I going to pay?
He hasn't done it since he's been in the league. He hasn't done it since
he's
been here.
And neither has Matt Forte. Neither has Matt Forte. So all of the hand-wringing about Chicago not re-signing him or letting him go on free agency doesn't make sense to me because he can't stay healthy. Alshon Jeffrey can't stay healthy. Kevin White is already hurt. John Fox is a guy who wants to run the ball and play good defense. I am not re-signing Matt Forte if that's the system I'm running because he doesn't fit and he is not going to come back to be a complimentary piece. He wants to be the main back. He is not built for it. So have a nice career and go away.
We do have a caller out of the 404. Welcome to the roundtable. What's your name and what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Frank from the A.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm good. I don't know who was talking before, but the reason why Chicago is not winning or not making it to playoffs is not because of Forte, and it's not because of their receiving core. It's their quarterback. I mean, it's their quarterback. A team put together a well-talented team, and Jay Cutler, for years, just didn't get the ball to him. Underthrown balls, not in shape, not knowing what the defense is doing, when clearly as a quarterback you should know formations or adjusting at the line. He clearly didn't develop as a quarterback, so that's why they not make the playoffs. It's not because this guy is a workhorse. Matt Forte is a workhorse. Is he still productive? Yeah. But making the playoffs and putting it on his back, that doesn't make, to me, any sense. Their quarterback is very, very bad. That's it.
Let me say this again, because apparently people are just fixating on a couple of words. So I'm going to speak slowly. This is a mediocre team full of mediocre players. None of them are difference makers. None of them. John Fox was brought in to rebuild this organization. None of the players fit. Some of them have to be kept because of financial reasons. Matt Forte has been in the league for 8 years. He does not fit what John Fox wants to do. He is not a difference maker for that team, so it doesn't make sense for them to keep him. He is a part of the reason they have not made the playoffs. Is he the only reason? No, he is not, but he is a part of it. What is his part? His unavailability for portions of the season. Yes, he accumulates numbers, and as Nacho said, in another system, he might be great. He wants to be the main running back in Chicago. That has not worked for them for 8 seasons. It has not worked for a variety of reasons, but he is a part of that reason. So if I am John Fox, and if I am the Chicago front office, and I'm actually trying to do this the right way, Matt Forte, go get your money somewhere else. I'm not paying you because you are not the reason we're winning. You might not be the only reason you're also not the only reason we're losing. But I'm not going to re-sign you for $10 million a year when what you're giving me, A, doesn't fit what we're going to do, and B, isn't enough because you're not always available. That is what I've said repeatedly.
I want to do this one. Okay. How much of this goes on to coaching, right? That's one. And two, how much of this goes to that damn defense? Because that defense is terrible. What you sat here and actually made that claim that defense will not change. That defense is terrible ever since they got rid of Briggs, got rid of Urlacher. Watch that team fall apart. I don't know how that they could look. Even the game, I think they lost that game to Kansas City, and it was a two-point conversion that they needed to tie the game up, and Cutler threw the ball out of the end zone. Why would they pass it and leave it as a jump ball situation where Forte actually got him into that game? Forte,
the coaching staff didn't trust them, Ty. If the coaching staff doesn't believe in you, then they're not going to use you. That's what I'm saying to you. Matt Forte is not a John Fox guy. He's not a John Fox guy. I told you that when they signed John Fox, that Matt Forte was going to be one of the first guys to go. He's the third guy to go. But I told you he was getting rid of Matt Forte. And you said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Remember that conversation when they signed John Fox? And I said, Matt Forte is done in Chicago. And I said, Matt Forte is done in Chicago. He doesn't fit what Fox wants to do. John Fox is going to get rid of a lot of guys this offseason. Martellus Bennett, he ain't going to be there either. It's quite a few guys that are not going to be in Chicago that are with that team right now. Come, whatever it is, the OTAs and all that, they're all going to be gone. Because of his money counting against the cap. If I could get rid of Cutler right now, Cutler would have been gone yesterday.
That's true. That's true. I don't know too many teams that want to pick up Cutler's contract. That's something that I blame the GM on that. But so with him getting rid of already Brandon Marshall, we already looking at Forte going out the door. You're already stating that Martellus may be gone, which may be true because Martellus gets injured too. And knowing that he could be a potential head case, which we all know team after team that he's been through from Dallas to the Giants to now the Bears, that, you know, these situations still exist. Do you think that this is a 3-year window that puts them postseason relevancy and also gets them to a Super Bowl if that is in front of them? Or is this a situation where the turnaround is now and Cutler has a major season this year and makes everybody say, wow, it was more Forte than it was Cutler? Like, is that the perception?
No. Okay. No. John Fox is rebuilding this team. I would not be surprised if Kevin White comes back healthy. I would not be surprised if you start hearing about them talking about moving out Sean Jeffrey because he can't stay healthy. I would not be surprised. John Fox wants guys, and Nacho, you know this, John Fox wants guys who stay on the field. He doesn't care what your name is, and he doesn't care how much money you make. Now, he's stuck with that quarterback because the backup is awful. Okay.
But every coach wants all his players to stay on the field.
Yeah, but John Fox is one of those guys where if you don't stay healthy, he gets rid of you.
You're gone.
Yeah,
look at what he did in Carolina. I'm sorry, go ahead, Nacho. Go ahead.
And again, we're talking about the coaching staff. Let's not forget there are 15-year veterans that haven't had as many offensive coordinators that Jay Cutler's had in his first 4 years, not in his own season. So Jay Cutler and that offense in general, every single player, you know, especially the ones that have been there for the past 5 to 6 years, they've seen 5 or 6 coordinators by now. They've seen 3 or 4 head coaches by now. There has been no continuity for this team. This is a team that in 2010 went all the way to the NFC Championship game and hasn't sniffed the playoffs since. Like, it's a team that they can't get nothing right in the front office. They can't get nothing right in the coaching staff. And that front office can't hit on a player to stay healthy, to save their lives over the past 8 years. I mean, right. we talk about Matt Forte being injured for 4 or 5 games. We talk about Alshon Jeffrey being injured his entire career. We talk about Kevin White not even starting his career and being injured. But we forget that that Ty's most important position was riding the bicycle in the most important game of his career. So,
right, and that's the thing, Nacho, is you have a guy in John Fox. He has a track record. He did it in Carolina. He did it in Denver. He has a track record. He has a blueprint. He has one. They finally got rid of that idiot Ray Emery, whatever the hell his name is, the guy Emery, who was the GM. They supposedly are cleaning house here. They're turning over not only the front office but the scouting department. This is Fox starting to implement his plan. This is not meant as a knock against Forte. It's just me saying to you that John Fox is looking at guys on the team like, you're not somebody I want. I want you. That's why I said, Alshon Jeffrey, listen, you better play all 16 games this season. I'll tell you that if you want to stay in Chicago. You better keep your ass on the field.
I'll say this. I really disagree one thing with Chandler. Kevin White's going to be a bust. If you watch when he played anybody in college that had a corner, he didn't do nothing. He got frustrated. I think he's going to be a bust.
And then back where they started.
Exactly. and man, it really all comes down to John Fox. And again, Chandler, I think, is 100% right in the way that John Fox is – wanting to do what he wants to do. The one thing that John Fox has that a majority of first-time head coaches at a new team has is that longevity and head coaching experience with Carolina, with Denver. He can come in and say, I don't want you, and no one's going to question it because of the fact that he's had all of that success already. So, there's a confidence in John Fox in Chicago that he's going to make the right decision. So when he's making these decisions and he's going through who he wants and who he doesn't want, there's going to be no one, honestly, there's no one that front office can save from John Fox. If he'll take anyone out he doesn't want, and no one's going to question
him. And remember this, he got rid of Brandon Marshall when they knew that Kevin White was injured, because everybody forgets that Kevin White was injured well before they ever got to camp. Okay? His leg was bothering him, and they told him just keep practicing on it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them looking at it. So he got rid of Brandon Marshall knowing that he might have a potentially injured wide receiver. Now, maybe they didn't think it was going to be that serious, but think about that for a minute. You got Alshon Jeffrey, who you know is going to miss games.
You got rid of Brandon Marshall, who doesn't miss games, when your stud rookie wide receiver you already know is gimpy. John Fox don't give a damn. If he don't want you on his team, you must go.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else they want to say to it? Frank, if you want to add to it before we get away from this.
No, you're good.
Star Weekend is here. Up in Toronto, the NBA, I mean, the extravaganza of, you know, the skills competition, the three-point shootout, the dunk contest, and then the game also tomorrow that we get to jump into. But there are still some trade rumors going on in the league right now in which they're throwing Carmelo's name out there. Now, this was actually given to me earlier today, and I'm not going to lie, Sports City, I, like, laughed at it because I didn't believe in the rumor myself, but Carmelo has actually addressed the situation, saying that he's not leaving New York. So I actually felt the way that Carmelo was feeling, but just in case that it was going down and the trade rumor was there or Melo wanted to leave New York, was something that I wanted to throw out there. It was like, how many times does he have to leave and go somewhere else to figure out that it takes more than him to turn around a team? And the team that was actually thrown out there, from what Tommy actually threw to me, was potentially Cleveland. And seeing Cleveland try to make the move as well. I didn't believe that that could happen, but I wanted to see how you guys felt about it. Knowing that this is right here at the doorstep of the All-Star game, and this is like the same thing was happening last year where he was injured in front of the All-Star game and still managed to play the All-Star game and sat out for the remainder of the year last year. They still had these trade rumors in front of Carmelo Anthony. How many times are we going to see this in front of Carmelo, especially people that look at the contract that's in front of this guy as well? Like I said, I didn't believe that he'll end up going to Cleveland. He's already throwing out situations that this is just a rumor that he's not leaving as well. But how much does it take in front of a guy like Carmelo Anthony? And it's something that I wanted to throw out to the kitchen first to set off the All-Star conversation here in the building. I don't want to go to you first, Chandler. Tommy, I'll let you address this. Your thoughts on the Carmelo situation.
Well, there was another one before that one I sent to you. I seen where there was a trade, and I think it was ESPN that did it, that said that the Knicks and the Heat were talking to send him down to Miami. So, I mean, obviously New York wants, I mean, with all these going on, if any of it's true, they really want to get rid of him for some reason. Phil Jackson must have something. Kevin Love's gone before the trade deadline. I've said it, book it, that I really think they're sick of him in Cleveland. I mean, the trades that I sent to you that you talked about, it was Carmelo to Cleveland. Love was supposed to go to Boston, but they didn't say who else, but that was what it was. I'm telling you, Love's gone.
Chandler, your thoughts on the situation?
First of all, this was started by Frank Isola. And what people outside of New York don't understand is Frank Isola isn't even allowed in Madison Square Garden. Okay? They don't invite him to press. They don't give him credentials to come to press conferences. He's a troll for New York Knicks fans. He makes up stories. When I say makes up, he makes up stories. He has no sources inside Madison Square Garden. So this is a made-up story by him. Most of the stories that are circulating about Carmelo Anthony are made up by the New York media. They are just not factually true. Carmelo Anthony has a no-trade clause. If he wanted out, he would waive it. They can't trade Carmelo Anthony. They can't because he's not waiving his no-trade clause. The New York media has been trying to run that young man out of town since they got him from Denver. But this story is fictional. It's fiction. It's a made-up story. Now, do I think Cleveland is calling around the teams and seeing what they could get for Kevin Love? Probably. But the Carmelo Anthony portion of this is not remotely true. It is fiction written by a guy who has no sources and who writes this stuff all the time. Pick the name of the star player for the Knicks for the past 20 years, and Frank Isola has written some story exactly like this.
Okay, but Chandler, I want to ask you this before I continue to throw this around the kitchen. Do you think any team wants Kevin Love right now with the contract in front of him and his proneness to being injured?
Yeah. There are teams who think, listen, man, the guy has some talent. He is a drawing card. People are going to talk about your team. There are reasons to get Kevin Love that have nothing to do with basketball. That is why you get a Kevin Love. If you need to be relevant as a team and be talked about, you go sign Kevin, you trade for Kevin Love. If you think that he's a piece that will make you, that can get you to an Eastern Conference final, yes, you go get a Kevin Love. And the fact is, he's overrated and underperformed, and he's not worth that money because of the attention and the clicks and all those other things you're going to get once you get him on your team. That's paying for the contract, the jersey sales and everything else. I mean, let's not forget the fact that Kevin Love is, you know, as a white player, one of the few star talent, star caliber white players in this league, they're going to push him and promote him. His jersey sales are extremely high and those other things. So, yeah, there are business reasons to get Kevin Love. There are business reasons to get him. Are there real basketball reasons? Not so much. You know, I don't think he's a fit in Boston. But, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, he's a great fit in Boston. I don't think so. Not with what they run. But as a business decision, does it make sense to get him? Yeah, it does.
Frank, do you have anything that you say toward this? Did we lose Frank? Frank, are you still there?
Okay, yeah, I have put my phone on mute.
Okay.
But I agree. Carmelo Anthony's not going anywhere. I agree with what he said. Whoever's making those statements, they're not relevant, and it's really false. Now, Kevin Love, I think Cleveland needs a whole bunch of pieces. To me, Cleveland reminds, it's the same team that they had in Miami. And the whole issue is not a lot of the other players. The whole issue is what LeBron needs to be successful. And he needs a better wingman. Kyrie Irving, he hasn't been healthy since Duke. So they still wait for him to come with a whole healthy season. You know, coach him to have a healthy season. So it's who they're going to get for Kevin Love. And I don't think that it would be the pieces for Cleveland at all. Kevin Love going to Boston, I agree. Kevin Love needs to be the second option. And I don't know a team that could really benefit, like, right now from getting Kevin Love.
Okay. Do anybody agree, does anybody agree with Tommy that Kevin Love will be out of Cleveland before the deadline?
I do. I believe it because as long as a team like the Phoenix Browns, as long as the Phoenix Suns are still an organization right now, they'll make some cockamamie trade, give them some picks, send them Marcus Morris, Markieff, whatever Morris twin they decide to ruin. And, you know, the team like that, like Chandler said, they'll make a big trade for him. They'll sell some purple and black jerseys. They'll make some money off of him, and they'll end up with 16 wins total the entire season. That is a team that'll pick up Kevin Love before the trade deadline. I agree with Tommy on that. I think a team does get him. There are too many of the bottom dwellers that need to sell tickets, and Love sells tickets, especially at the way that Cleveland, I think, wants to get rid of him. The thing is, the problem with that is every time Cleveland, I think, tries to send him out there to say he can still play, he hurts himself. Whether it's, you know, limping, you know, a week or two ago, whether it's bumping shoulders with Kobe the other night, there's just something always happening injury-wise to Kevin Love that is really, I think, messing up Cleveland's plan of really getting rid of him. I think the moment they try or get close to getting rid of him, something happens physically and that team either backs out or they want to wait. So, you know, that's all pure speculation. But I think that is one thing that is happening. There are a lot of trade rumors. He gets hurt. And then trade rumors come again and he gets hurt. So I don't know if he's going to allow them to trade him because of his health wise. But I think they're trying
head over heels day in and day out, you know, 24/7 to get rid of Kevin Love as fast as possible, get something in there to help them out. Otherwise, you know, who knows? But I do believe he's gone before the trade deadline because they want to win a championship, and I don't think they believe they can, what would be without Kevin Love because he's probably going to be injured. So they need to fix that problem right away. And again, it'll be a team like the Dumpster Fire Phoenix Suns that'll probably pick him up and put him in a jersey and sell some tickets. But he won't go to a contender, and again, he might not even play the rest of the season, every single game, as we all well know. So it is what it is. But I definitely think he's gone before the trade deadline, all health prevailing.
Let me throw this trade out there. It's interesting. What if Cleveland shifts him now to L.A.? And they get Blake Griffin. Because Blake's, I think he's done. In with all that stuff going on with him, Blake needs a new start. So what if they get Griffin in Cleveland? They ship him out to L.A. because he's a California boy. He went to UCLA and everything. Maybe that's what Love needs.
Well, he's not a California guy. He's from Oregon. Just because he went to UCLA, he's from Oregon. He's not a California guy. He's from Oregon. And Clippers won't make that trade because it's a ridiculous trade for them. They lose in that trade. I think I don't know if he's going to get traded. I kind of think he will. But I was just sitting there thinking while Nacho was talking, and a trade to me that makes the most sense for three teams, because it has to be a three-team trade, is Love goes to Atlanta. And the reason I say Atlanta is that same ownership group is still in place that had Danny Ferry there, okay? And all those things that were said concerning Luol Deng and how they want, less black faces on the Kiss Cam and all of that, that's still a thing. That culture still there within that corporation that owns that team, okay? So you put Love in Atlanta. You send Horford and Teague to the Celtics because they, Al Horford and Jeff Teague would fit great there. And then you give the Cavaliers, who are truly looking for a stretch four, you give them an Olynyk, maybe a Jay Crowder, and some picks. How it works for each team, it gives the Cavs salary cap relief, first of all. You get Atlanta is instantly energized because they've made a trade, so the fans are, we got Kevin Love, now we're going to be better. It puts the Celtics over the top. To me, it almost guarantees them facing off against the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it changes the culture in that locker room in Cleveland and gets them a guy, and I'm just throwing Olynyk out there because there's a couple other, you'd have to probably include David Lee in that to make the money work. But it gives them a couple of guys who come in there to that team with without an ego, who were there just to do what you're asking them to do, and they're not going to pout. If they're not getting enough minutes, they're going to play defense. They're going to play hard. So it changes the culture in that Cleveland locker room, which is really what Cleveland needs. They need to change the culture in that locker room.
Yeah, the other rookie, you will see it.
Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Just to quickly get some of the thoughts and opinions on this All-Star weekend of Saturday, for the three-point shootout and more or less the dunk competition. Unless people want to talk about the skills competition, which I could care less about you could throw a bounce pass, you could throw a chest pass. If you're an NBA point guard, you better be able to do a crossover. You better have skill to be an NBA player. But, if anybody wants to talk about if Steph defends this title, the shooting explosion he went on last year, especially spilling into this year, does he look better than he did last year? Does Clay win it? Is there another name that you throw into the hat that may end up bringing the three-point shootout home? At least now that I've gotten older, I actually respect the three-point shootout now. Back in the day, it was all about the dunk contest. I couldn't wait for the dunk contest. And do you think the dunk contest has its excitement with the name that they have there, or is this Zach LaVine bringing this trophy back to Minnesota as well? Zach LaVine already has an MVP from the Rising Star situation. I want to see how you guys feel about this All-Star weekend. I'll start with you first on this one, Frank. Are you still muted, Frank?
Yeah, go ahead, guys. I'm just listening and enjoying it.
Okay, definitely. Chandler, how about you? Do you think that we have an explosion again from Steph? Do you think it's another guy that steps up in the three-point shootout? And also, I mean, you may not be into the dunk contest, but do you think this is a Zach LaVine situation, a repeat? Or do you think a guy like Andre Drummond out there in Michigan, which it brings us back to Michigan?
I honestly don't care about All-Star Weekend. There's nothing about it that interests me.
I knew it. I had to get that one out there. Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on this one, on the shootout or the dunk contest?
The dunk contest, I grew up in that dunk contest era, so to speak, with the Jordan and everything, growing up and just seeing it, as a little young kid. So to me, the dunk contest has always been a revered thing for me as being as young as I am. Also, video games have highlighted those two events to where, you know, where I play those things and get involved, and it's kind of fun. So I just I enjoy those things. Who do I know is going to win the dunk contest? I don't know, and I really honestly don't care. Who wins it. I'm just excited to see it. As the three-point contest goes, it's definitely Devin Booker's to lose. I just feel so confident in a young kid. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just excited to see him play. I know there's not much for me to be excited as a Suns fan this year. So Devin Booker participating in three-point contest, I'm really excited to see. Maybe if, he catches a miracle or God shines a light on him or whatever happens and he can win, going against the best three-point shooters in the league. Other than that, it's not too special to me. It really is the Kevin Hart weekend. It is something that he just takes over. And I think it's been the past 3 or 4 years now where, it's the All-Star weekend. And then Kevin Hart shows up and it's Kevin Hart show. So that'll be fun to watch again throughout the rest of the weekend. And again, the 3 points and the dunks and all that good stuff. So it's going to be entertaining to see it all.
Hey, that boy Booker can shoot now. That boy can shoot, but I don't know if he can mess with Stephen.
Yeah. I don't know if he can mess with them big boys, but he can shoot, yeah.
Yeah, he can shoot. Tommy, your thoughts on this one, and then we'll start to wrap up.
I think Steph wins 3-point shootout. Who's in the dunk contest?
It's Drummond, it's Barton, it's LaVine. And the fourth one escapes me. I know Andre Drummond is in it, and it surprised me that they have another 6'11 guy, 6'11 guy dunking. But he's in it. So,
all right. Well, it sounds like the dunk contest might be kind of boring. So the best thing might be able to watch this 3-point shootout.
Right, and the fourth guy in the dunk contest is Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I think the dunk contest is just starting to get to. It's just not the same.
Okay. Yeah, the big names in the dunk contest. Real quickly, I know I kind of went off, but the big names in the dunk contest, we're not going to see them. The LeBron James is the guys that we really. That we would want to see in those type of events, they're not going to be there. So it's going to be a bunch of unnamed guys or guys that really aren't, the all-star superstars yet. So the dunk contest to me, it was more exciting when you had the big names. Now you're just like, because sometimes at some point, everything's been done. You feel like you're trying to make an episode The Simpsons haven't done at some point.
Okay, well, I got everything out of everybody. And look, I'm going to do this. There may be some shock names in that 3-point shootout. I'm actually happy that Nacho threw out Devin Booker. Watch out for J.J. Redick, man. J.J. Redick might shock some people now. That's all he do is shoot threes. So this could be loaded. It could be Clay, J.J., Harden, Booker, I don't know if he's going to be in that top four finalist. I like CJ as well, but I don't know if CJ will make it, but they got to show me that they can shoot better than Steph, man. So somebody got to show me that they can shoot better than Steph. flat out, Steph is the best shooter in the game. If somebody come out and have a better night than Steph, then I'm stunned. I'm stunned. But I think this is all Steph Curry's to lose. And the dunk contest, I agree with you, Tommy. It's like, what happened after, I want to say after 2004. After 2004, it's like, what happened to the dunk contest, man? Like, really, what happened, man?
No, 2009 and 10, when Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson went at it. And Gerald Green, that one wasn't bad. After that, it just seemed like it fell downhill.
Okay, when it fell downhill was right where you said it at with Dwight and Nate, right? How many attempts did Nate Robinson get to make before he made his dunk?
No, that was 2 years after, or 2 years before.
Listen, we watched him miss 27 dunks at a time. Listen, when it was Mike and Nick and them, if you missed one dunk, it came back with that second one, your score dropped anyway. He sat up there and missed 27 times, and they still gave him a score. Like, and last year, I don't even know why. Last year, Zach LaVine set it off. Zach LaVine had a good dunk contest last year, but it was like, who was he going against? He had nobody there. Like, it was him against, you know, everybody seen him high flying. Like I said, 2004, when Jason Richardson was done, after Jason Richardson was done, it ended, man. It was nothing left. It was no, you know, people giving each other a push. It was, we just watching one or two guys make a couple of dunks, and we already knew where the boat was going after somebody's first round.
Vince Carter put on the best show.
Of course. Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. As of, you know, recent years, yes, Vince Carter did, but that Nick and Jordan show a couple of times. Man, listen. Woo, them two used to go at it. If you like finesse, it was Mike. If you like thunder, that was neat. That was my era. The Neek and Jordan, that dunktastrophe, and when Spud Webb won it in there, I think it was 86 too. That's when it was going down. Okay. I'm getting out of here. I need plug closeouts from each of you. I'll start with you first, Tommy. Give us a plug closeout shout out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable.
Good show, good topics. If you can get near TV today at 2:30, watch the ESPN game that's on there, Oklahoma and Kansas. I mean, that game last time they played in Kansas went to double, triple overtime. Watch this Benny Hill, because in my book, he should be the number one pick overall in the NBA draft. Take nothing away from Ben Simmons, but this kid can score, he doesn't give up, and he doesn't get frustrated. Watch him. So Oklahoma's going to make some noise in March.
And outside of him scoring, he plays defense. That's the crazy. And I watched Buddy Hill grow from his freshman year till now. And at the start of the season, I started seeing him make some crazy shots. And then when he was playing that Kansas game where he was pulling up from, like, he was pulling up from like at least 3 or 4 feet behind the three-point line and shooting that with confidence. He wasn't just shooting it to shoot it. He was shooting that like, I can hit these. Like, I'm a Buddy Hill fan. It'll be interesting to see how the player of the year goes down, especially with college basketball being so wide open too. But he's not lying. That should be a very good game, Oklahoma-Kansas, especially with it being a Big 12 battle. And that's probably the strongest thing that the Big 12 is strong in is in basketball. So there's something to watch out for sure. Not trying to need a plug, close out, shout out, if we shut it down here at the roundtable.
At Nacho on the Block, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, it was a great show today. Thanks everyone for coming on and going at it. Again, you know, Tyler brings up a great point. That Oklahoma-Kansas game, if you don't like college basketball or if you haven't watched it in a while, that's a game you should definitely check out. Those two teams, they never cease to impress me when they're on the court, especially together. Again, like Tommy said last time, it was a triple overtime game, and it was a great game to watch. So that's always going to be fun. You
you know, I talked about it a little earlier, but, you know, being a Phoenix Suns fan, watching what this team has done to – watching what this front office has done to this team, it really saddens me. It makes me sick to my stomach. You know, what they did to Jeff Hornacek, what has transpired with the Morris twins. Now one of them's gone. We still have one of them. You know, we can't seem to get anything right. The only diamond in the rough we seem to have is Devin Booker, and they can't seem to put him in the right spot. So it just, you know, it really sickens me that a team, a front office, can act so childish that they put all their eggs into the LaMarcus Aldridge basket. And when he decided to go to San Antonio, it's like they threw up their hands and acted like a freaking infant, a little child, and said, oh, it's all done now. And it just really makes me sick to watch a team that I know wasn't one of the best in the West but was teetering on that eighth spot, maybe seventh spot, and then, you know, a couple good players, and who knows what happened from there. Jeff Hornacek, I know I was calling for his head late last year. With the offseason things he said and what was going on, I kind of got a backing for him. The way they treated him this year, the way they did him completely wrong, the way that they've held the Morris twins to no accountability, and the way that they've just run this franchise deeper into the depths of hell, pretty much. It just saddens me and sickens me, being a fan of this team for so long, seeing the good years, living through the worst years, and it just seems to be going nowhere but down. So, it may fall on deaf ears, but if someone out there from the Suns organization or if someone's listening that can knock some sense into somebody and get something done, I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of watching a losing team week in and week out just go on the court. And again, these players have really nothing to do with it because they're trying the best they can. They're just not good enough. They're putting their heart and soul on the court every night for a team that doesn't even care, and it sickens me. And again, there's something else I wanted to talk about that ties into this. In England, a large group of fans, staged a walkout during an event for a football team, a European football team. Overseas, because those ticket prices for their upcoming games in the next season were going to be raised. Other prices were going to be raised. They boycotted that. They got the ownership, who owns the team in Europe, who happens to be the owners of the Boston Red Sox. They got them to rescind the amount of money to pay for the tickets. Those aren't going up. The prices are not going up. So fans can make a change. Fans have a voice. Us as fans, we can make a stand and I think make a difference. Again, like I said, I don't know how many Suns people are listening or if we can get more, but we need to make a stand. This needs to change. The constant losing, the constant being at the bottom of the barrel, it needs to stop. Again, thank you guys so much. It was a great show. Can't wait for the brunch tomorrow.
Well, I mean, you cheer for every team in Arizona other than the Cardinals. So if you can leave Arizona for the Cardinals, why don't you just leave Arizona for the Suns? Now, I'm not just telling you to go to Milwaukee and be a Bucks fan, but you could go outside of the net, if you will, and leave Arizona for you. I don't know. I don't want to push for an OKC. I won't do that. I mean, especially as much junk you talk about Russell anyway, so I'll leave you alone in that. But you could be whoever you like, man. You could be a Bulls fan. You could be a Knicks fan. You could help Chandler out. You could do whatever you want, man. You could Tommy and be a Heat fan. I don't know. You pick what you want to pick.
I'm not a Heat fan.
Oh, I thought you were down with the Heat. Oh, I forgot. He's a Wizards fan. I forgot. That's right.
He's a Wizards fan. And right now,
he's a Wizards fan. That's right. He's a Wizards. No, you guys are all right. John Wall is doing amazing things. You fought for John Wall to make the team, and he's there.
Yeah, John Wall's about the only thing we've got. Don't do that to Bill. Georgetown, Otto Porter, he's the most inconsistent person I know.
Wait a minute. Otto Porter's garbage? He's garbage?
You never know when he's going to show up.
Is he garbage, yes or no, is the question. Is Otto Porter garbage?
Consistent.
But you said he's garbage. I'm adding the question. Is he garbage?
I shouldn't have said garbage. He's inconsistent.
You're not going to talk about my Hoyas like that. I'm not going to let that go down. I'm not. Okay, and give me a Hurricane that plays basketball. Jesus. All right.
Give you, okay. Let's see here. There's James that's out in Cleveland. There was Rick Barry.
I'm talking about right now. Okay.
Larkin's in Brooklyn.
Oh, Shane Larkin. Okay, Shane Larkin. You got the cat. Okay, that's one.
There's James Jones that's out in Cleveland.
He doesn't even play basketball. He's holding cups.
There's... I got to run my brain here. You wait till the draft this year.
Listen, I'll let you Google for a little bit. I'll let you do that for a little bit. You're not going to sit here like that. Chandler, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the Roundtable.
You know, we keep talking about sometimes basically nonsensical crap and things that should get talked about don't. For those of you who don't know, there's a Title IX lawsuit against the University of Tennessee that's illustrating, you know, decades of sexual abuse and assaults, victim shaming, and a culture at that university that allowed the athletes to run wild, assault women, get away with it. There's instances where players on the football team targeted one of their own teammates because he stood up for a rape victim. In all of that, there was also a story about Peyton Manning. And this is factual things. These are not allegations. These are facts. Okay? Peyton Manning sexually assaulting a professor, and then him and his father going so far as to ruin the woman's career, to write a book ruining her career long after she left that university, where another athlete, because he wouldn't stand up and lie for Peyton, had his scholarship taken away. Okay? And these are all factual things that you can just look up. So in this culture of, let's talk about fluff and let's talk about how great somebody is, how about we tell the truth about some of these guys? I would suggest that you follow these people on Twitter at SCATX, at Sports by Sharona, at Julie DiCario, and at Kavika Davidson. These young ladies, these women, are doing amazing things. They're talking about this stuff because there's a culture in our society of misogyny. If a woman comes forward and says she was assaulted, the first question that gets asked is, what did she do? And that needs to stop. We need to stop acting like these guys are perfect because they can throw a football or bounce a basketball and acknowledge the fact that we have some terrible human beings playing these games, and that we need to take a look at the fact that we're not willing to stand up for these women, that we're not willing to stand up for them. And our first thought is, oh, I don't want to hear about that. Let's talk about the All-Star game. As men, we need to take a real hard look at the role we play in our society, in this culture of trying to protect our women. If you have a daughter, if you got a sister, if you got an aunt, if you have know a young lady that's going to college right now, okay, there's a real good chance that if she gets assaulted, that university will do nothing about it. And that's a problem.
Well, look at the women in Missouri. There were football players that did stuff, and Missouri covered it up. And she was on a swim team or something. She was another athlete there, and she lost her scholarship and everything, and they kicked her out.
Okay, well, these are issues that I like to say for the life and times of Sports City, because we actually addressed Peyton Manning on Wednesday. And then I try to throw that around in the kitchen, and especially with this story actually dropping as of today about Peyton Manning and the situation that occurred previously. But I don't know. I was just saving this as an All-Star Weekend topic to try and throw around to the people. Felt like this was, you know, feeder frenzy, throw out to the people. Hey, if people don't like it, so be it. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow with the Sunday morning brunch, 11 a.m. You already know the slogan. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Nobody without telling me. Sunglasses in Advil. Last night was mad real. Sun coming up 5 a.m. I wonder if they got cash still. Think about the girl in all leopard. Who was rubbing the wood like Kiki Shepherd. Two tattoos, one red, no apologies. The other said love is cursed by monogamy. That's something that the pastor don't preach. That's something that a teacher can't teach. When we die, the money we can't keep. Probably spend it all cause the pain ain't cheap. Preach.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a guy? What's a guy to a